So a question was asked about certain actions that soldiers do on Shabbos that protect people that go through Arab areas, and the question is, how do we define when it's necessary and when they should really be Mechal Shabbos? So right. So let's discuss the general rules of Chil Shabbos, and then let's acquaintance ourselves with a concept in the laws of Shabbos, and each person will ask his rabbi when to apply this halacha of the laws of Shabbos. Ordinarily, we're not allowed to desecrate the Shabbos. If there's a need to desecrate Shabbos, we do. If there's a medical need, if someone's going to die, if someone's in danger, if someone might be in danger, we do. I was once home Shabbos afternoon and I smelled smoke. So I go out to the hallway and knock on the neighbor's door and they say they don't smell anything. I find the source of the smoke is the top floor in an apartment. We knock on the door, no answer. We look outside, we don't see smoke. But I smelled smoke. The neighbors say we're not sure we smell smoke. So I run downstairs and I call the fire department. And my neighbor, who was like religious, but not very stringently religious, looks at me and says, "You, the one who wears a hat and a jacket, and you go to yeshiva, you're calling the fire department?" I said, "Yeah. There might be a danger. We don't know, right? On the question that there might be a danger, we desecrate Shabbos." There was once a child that had fever. And parents see that his fever is going up and up. And they say, "Okay, we'll give him an Akamol." And the kid's fever hit in Fahrenheit, it would be 105. In Celsius, that would be like 41.5. So his fever shoots up, and he faints. He doesn't really faint. He faints for a second. So they quickly put water on him, and he comes to, and they give him Macamon. His fever goes down, and they think, fine. They go to the doctor the next day, and the doctor starts yelling at them. From the doctor, he says, in a situation like that, you should have hopped in a car and taken the kid to the hospital. So the father says, "Yeah, I wasn't sure." So the doctor tells him, "Don't you know the halacha says when you're not sure, then you take the kid? There's no such thing as you're not sure." This past Yom Kippur, I was in Shaarei Tzedek, and a woman comes in with a baby that's nursing. I'm about to start Musaf Shemona Esrei, and they tell me there's a woman downstairs with the question of Pikuach Nefesh, should she eat or not? Who can answer the question? So I said, "If there's a question, tell her to eat." So the guy says, "Well, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not telling her to eat." So I said, "Okay, but you're telling me there's a question that it might be Pikuach Nefesh. If there's a question, she has to eat." But the guy says, "I'm not taking any responsibility." So I said, "Okay, I won't daven with a minyan." I go downstairs to the emergency room. There's a woman with a baby that's nursing. And she's walked into the hospital. And the baby's been vomiting. And he had a fever. And he wouldn't eat any solids. All he had was her nursing. And the question was, should she break her fast for the baby to have to feed? Now I'm skipping a few of the details about the baby's past history. So the doctors in the emergency room, Yom Kippur, they take it very seriously. So I asked them, how important is it for her to have good milk, for her to nurse? Does she have to eat? Does she have to eat and drink? Which way does it go? Is it enough that she just drinks? Is it enough that she drinks small amounts and then she'll have enough milk? Or does she have to drink a large amount? And the doctor says, "Look, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't want to tell you. It's Yom Kippur." This is a not religious doctor. He says to me, "I don't want to take responsibility. I'm not the rabbi here." So don't take responsibility, but tell me. I mean, what does she need? So he says, "Look, I would think that she should really eat and drink, but I'm not really sure." So you have a situation which isn't clear. I didn't feel comfortable taking responsibility in a situation where no one's giving me straight answers. So I ran upstairs and I got her milk and orange juice and cake. I told her, "Now eat and drink." Why? Because the baby might be in sakana. When we might have a danger, then we have to do whatever it takes to save the danger. At the same time, I ran, after I gave her the food and the drink, I ran to the ninth floor, to the place where you have the nursery, and where women give birth, and I ran to the doctors and the nurses there, and I said, "Tell me, if you have a woman that's nursing, is it imperative that she eats and drinks, or only drinks? And can she drink small amounts, or does she have to drink large amounts? Because there's a difference in the laws of Yom Kippur." And then again, being that we didn't know the situation of the child and the situation of the mother and how much milk she had, so she had to eat and drink, and not only that, I stayed there to make sure she eats and drinks. Rav Shlomo Zalman once had There was a Chassid Rebbe who was in the hospital for Yom Kippur, so he sent one of his disciples to the Rebbe to stand over and make sure he eats and drinks. He told him, look, halacha is you have to eat and drink, and I'm worried about you. Your Yetzer Hara might get the better of you. Your job now is to eat and drink. That's your mitzvah now. So undoubtedly, when we have situations where we must, so then we must. But by the same token, if we don't have to, then we don't. We don't play games. On the one hand, if a person has to take medication, and he's going to take the medication 8 days, and the doctor gives him the prescription Friday afternoon, so the person might say, I'll wait till Sunday, and then I'll only have to take medication on one Shabbos. We say, no, start the medication Shabbos. You need that medication, take it. Don't play games. You say, okay, what's the big deal? I'll wait one day. We say, no. You're supposed to have medication, start the medication, even though it means you'll be taking it two Shabbatot. But that's where it's a situation of medication. That's where it's necessary. We don't say, go play games, and then you'll have to desecrate Shabbos. We don't say, do things that'll cause the desecration of Shabbos. So in general, on the one end, we try to avoid desecrating Shabbos. But on the other hand, where it's necessary, we do. And where it's necessary, we don't even think twice. We say, if it might be necessary, you do it. And not only that, the halacha says, the greater the person is, the quicker he should be the one to desecrate Shabbos. If there are 15 people standing in the room, and suddenly there's a need to desecrate Shabbos, the rabbi runs forward and does it. So he doesn't say, you do it. What do you mean you do it? I have a mitzvah to do it. Now it's a mitzvah to desecrate Shabbos. But that's all where it's necessary. When it's necessary, so then we do it. But we don't try to enter situations where it's necessary, and we don't play games with it. That's the basic halacha that we all know, and that's where your question is coming from. These people are tourists. These are Jewish people who want to walk through the Arab Shuk. If they're going to walk through the Shuk, the soldiers are going to have to accompany them. If the soldiers accompany them, the soldiers are going to have to desecrate Shabbos. Let's take the question one step further. You have people who live in Ir David. You have people who live in areas in Hebron. And whenever they leave their home, practically, they need a soldier to accompany them. So maybe they should stay in their home all of Shabbos, because every time they're going to leave their home, there's going to be a soldier, and he's going to have to take all his paraphernalia, and he's going to have to be in contact with the base, and he's going to accompany them, and you're causing desecration of Shabbos. He's going to walk around with his muktzah, they're going to talk on the keshel. So the question, if we want to expand it, is not only to the tourists that are coming to Hebron, the Jewish tourists, but we could expand it also to the Jews that are living in areas where whenever they leave their homes, they need accompaniment by soldiers, right? Fair enough, yeah? Okay, so again, I'm not going to answer the question, but I want us to be familiar with the concept in halacha. The halacha discusses, and this is a Gemara, the Gemara discusses in Erevin, what happens if we need to go out to protect the Jewish city. There's a Jewish city that's been attacked, and we get word that we have to go protect the city. So we take our weapons, we have to save them, and we go to that city to protect the city. Now we finished the war, we protected the city. So the dry halacha would say, you left your tchum Shabbos, so then it was pikuach nefesh, now it's not pikuach nefesh, now stick around. You're not allowed to walk more than Dalet Amos. You went out of your Tchum Shabbos. Once a person leaves his 2,000 Amos of the city, so he's not allowed to walk more than 2,000 Amos. Put down your weapons. They're Muktzah. Now it's not Pikuach Nefesh. So the Gemara says that the rabbis made a special institution that whenever a person goes for Pikuach Nefesh, he may come back. Even though the Dry Halacha says not, but the rabbis recognized that you could tell a person from today until tomorrow, it's pikuach nefesh, you have to go. And you won't be able to come back, but you have to go. The first time he'll go, the second time he'll go, by the third time he's going to think twice. He's going to say, well, I'm going to be stuck there all Shabbos. Think of a doctor. Think of a guy who works on Hatzalah. 15 times a day he gets called to go out and take care of a case. Eventually he'll say, I quit. I'm never home with my family Shabbos. What kind of life is this? Let someone else do this. So Chazal instituted that whoever goes out to save someone can come back, may return with the weapons. And the Shulchan Aruch says in one short halacha, kol ha-yotzim la-tzil, whoever goes out to save, to rescue other people, chozrim b'chlei zeinam nimkumam, may return with their weapons to their place. Now, how far do we apply this? Let's say a doctor, they need him in the hospital, so he has a non-Jew comes and picks him up and drives him to the hospital on Friday night. Do we give him a non-Jew to drive him back? What about a person that goes with Hatzalah? So now is the cab going to drive him back home? So this is discussed in the responsa, and every person in his particular situation will call his rabbi, but we should be aware that the concept exists, that sometimes if what we're doing is so important that it constitutes pikuach nefesh, so then we say, okay, then Chazal said, I want you to be doing what you're doing, so I'm going to give you leniencies, I'm going to say, you can extend the leniencies not only to the pikuach nefesh, but beyond that. Now, the question of the tours going through the shuk, I don't know that it's pikuach nefesh. I don't know that it's necessary. But then again, I understand that. But who said they should be going? I don't know the logistics. I mean, there are people who claim that it's very important for the sake of pikuach nefesh that we constantly be in many, many places. Whether that has any validity or not, I don't know. All of this is requires a person's knowing the mitziyut b'shetach, knowing what's really going on, what's really necessary, and the halacha. So we discussed an aspect of the halacha that might be applied to this situation to provide a leniency, but I don't see that it would. I'm just saying, we don't have all the facts in front of us. We don't know what's necessary and what isn't necessary. We don't know what happens in that shuk if Jews don't go through the shuk. There are places where if Jews don't go, then Jews, it becomes unsafe for Jews to go. So long as they're accustomed to our going, so it remains safe for us to go. I don't know, and I'm not sure that would constitute pikuach nefesh, so that we maintain a presence. I don't know, but all these questions will stem, I think, from this halacha primarily, and then the question is, well, what are the facts and how do we analyze the facts?